At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley Banfield and this is Drop Dead Serious. I have a story to bring you out of California, and I am telling you, I have been in this business long enough to see a few things, and I think I'm seeing a few things in this story out of California. That said, I can't be certain if my spidey senses are right, but nutshell, woman says she's hit over the head in a parking lot at a store, and when she comes to, her seven-month-old baby is gone. She gives interviews, and so does her husband. And the internet kind of lit up, shall I say. It's giving a bit of Susan Smith vibes, although I will say this, if this really happened to her, it would be horrendous that she were going through, you know, people who don't believe her, services that are cut back. If anybody thinks she's lying and she isn't, it would be the worst thing in the world. If she is lying, it is the worst thing in the world. But it's a big, big story with an interview that you can dissect. And so in this episode, I do exactly that. I call the expert, the guy who's worked with all the government agencies, including the FBI and the US military, to talk about the nonverbal cues, the stuff that you aren't saying, but you're saying with your face. And so Scott Rouse, the expert, is going to join me in just a moment to go through all of these issues and find out if what we're seeing is the real deal or if it is a big fat lie. I want to start right from the very beginning. A seven-month-old baby has vanished in San Bernardino County, California. His name is Emmanuel Harrow. His mother says that she was attacked outside of a sporting goods store, rendered unconscious. And when she came to, her baby, Emmanuel, that little boy, was gone, kidnapped. And as the hours ticked by, the search for baby Emmanuel only grew more desperate. But after several days, something seemed to change. And investigators are now saying that this case may not be as straightforward as it first appeared to be. So it all started on Thursday night, August 14th, just before 8 p.m. It was a busy stretch of Yucaipa Boulevard. Rebecca Harrow pulled up to a Big Five sporting goods store. She needed to buy her stepson a mouth guard. And that's because she had just left his football game because he didn't have one and she needed to get him one. So she left the football field to come to the sports store to get a mouth guard. Everybody else in the family stayed at the football field, though. The boy's dad and their other kids, they all stayed at the football game. But Rebecca took their seven-month-old son, Emmanuel, with her, she said. Before going inside, though, the Big Five sporting goods store, Rebecca said that she noticed Emmanuel needed a diaper change. He's 7 months. So she said she planned to do it right then and there in the car. She laid him down in the car to do the diaper change. And that's when Rebecca says, a stranger approached her car and said one word, hola. And then Rebecca says, quote, everything went white. Rebecca came to, she said. She was on the ground. Emmanuel was gone. That's her report. When she came to, she was on the ground and Emmanuel was gone. Then she said she searched frantically for her little boy. She says she looked around the car. She darted into the store, she said. She also said she shouted his name. Well, he's 7 months old, so I can't imagine that, you know, shouting a 7 months old name is going to produce a result, right? Like 7 months old, you're not even walking. But she said she shouted his name and nothing. And finally, she said she called 911. San Bernardino County deputies swarmed that parking lot right away. They brought in canine sniffing dogs. Officers canvassed the nearby neighborhoods. The deputies worked into the night. They looked for any signs of Emmanuel, but they found nothing. And then came three details that made an already troubling case even more difficult. First off, weird. This one, I don't get it. No surveillance cameras that cover the Big Five parking lot. Just think about this for a second. Where is it that you can go in your life where you don't assume that there's some kind of surveillance camera somewhere? Security cameras, literally everywhere. Every parking lot. Maybe the little mom and pop stores, maybe not. But even them, I assume that they've got some kind of surveillance security camera out front of their door or inside their store. But the Big Five store has no security cameras looking at the parking lot. Nothing to show who was there or what really happened. Secondly, Rebecca admitted that she could not describe her attacker, had no description of height or build or clothing. Nothing. She said it happened from behind. She just heard the word hola, and then that was the last thing she remembers. Third, she says she never even saw how the person got away. So no car, no direction, no trace, no license plate, like nothing. So police literally don't have a suspect description. They don't have a vehicle. They don't have a license plate to trace that. They literally could not put out an Amber Alert because you need a lot of those things legally to get an Amber Alert out. 7-month-old baby boy, gone without a trace. Instead of an Amber Alert, which again requires a car and a license plate, otherwise, guys, trust me, you may be angry at that, but there would be hundreds of Amber Alerts going out every single day the minute somebody looks around and can't find their kid in a store. There has to be a license plate. There has to be a car because the Amber Alert specifically goes to that. Hey, drivers, if you're out there, look for this car. So no Amber Alert. Instead, the San Bernardino Sheriff's Department posted an alert to the public about a kidnapped 7-month-old baby boy. So they did do something. They put out that alert, public alert. 7-month-old, gone. The next day, that's Friday, August 15th, Rebecca goes on local TV. She's got bruises on her face, and she is begging and pleading for the return of her son. Take a look. This is ABC 7.
I fell on the floor, and as soon as I got up, I couldn't find my son.
A 7-month-old baby boy was reportedly kidnapped right out of this Big Five parking lot. This is 7-month-old Emmanuel Haro, one of five children in this family from Cabazon, reportedly kidnapped last night in Yucaipa. Now, his mom told me that they were here last night at a nearby football stadium in Yucaipa with the other kids playing youth football, and she had to run down here to Big Five to buy some equipment for her stepson, specifically a mouth guard. When she got here to the parking lot, she says that's when she noticed her 7-month-old's diaper needed to be changed. So she says she got out of her truck, went around to the back, and laid him down on the seat to change his diaper when she was attacked from behind.
I got him out of the car seat, and I laid him down so I could get his diapers ready. And somebody said, hola, and that's all I remember. And I saw white. No. And a hearing sound, I fell on the floor. And as soon as I got up, I couldn't find my son. I checked all around my truck. And I ran into Big Five. And I asked the lady if she saw a baby or someone with a baby. She said no. It was a happy boy. He smiled. I was gonna get the diaper and somebody said hola, and I didn't see nothing since. I woke up right here on the floor and I didn't see Emmanuel.
Rebecca says she woke up with a black eye and her baby gone. She searched around the car, ran into the store, then called 911.
Everybody came, the dogs, helicopter. No, he's gone. I can't find him. If you know anything, please come and bring my son back. Please, I'm begging you. If you know anything, please come forward or take him to the cops or please let us know anything, please.
Her husband, Jake Harrow, also spoke to the cameras and he said that the family doesn't have any enemies, that he couldn't think of anyone who would want to hurt them. Again, this is ABC 7.
Whoever took our son... Please give him back.
Whoever took my son, please return him. We just want him back. We won't do anything to you. We just give us our son. Just keep him safe. Don't hurt him. Make sure you feed him. Change him.
Later that same day, San Bernardino Sheriff's Department posted an update on social media, and they confirmed that their Specialized Investigations Division had taken over this case and that the investigators were methodical. They retraced Rebecca's steps that night, from the football practice, the drive to the Big Five, the diaper change in the car. Canines swept the area again. Officers checked any security cameras that they could. And again, there were none in the parking lot of the Big Five, but plenty of security cameras in the roadways leading up to that area. Also, surrounding businesses might have had some kind of a view. And I always go back to vehicles. So many people have security cameras on their vehicles now, especially Teslas. Teslas literally are a rolling 360 security camera. So there might be maybe someone out there with a Tesla who's got some video, or just someone who was in that parking lot who was rolling tape. So we'll wait on that. But at this point, we're not hearing about what that kind of part of the investigation has yielded. And still, at this point, no sign of Emmanuel, they say. And by now, the story was everywhere. A kidnapped baby, a mother left battered in a parking lot. I mean, this story got a lot of attention and got it fast. There were headlines, social media, you name it. It was everywhere. And then as the weekend arrived, suddenly the tone seemed to shift. By Saturday, that's August 16th, investigators were searching the Harrow's home. And wouldn't you know it, they brought with them cadaver dogs. That's not a good sign, folks. Cadaver dogs in the home? That means only one thing. They're thinking, maybe that boy died in the home. Maybe there was not this abduction out, you know, in the parking lot of a Big Five. Maybe something nefarious happened. And one reporter from KTLA said that the investigators were digging up parts of the property. People who live in the community said on social media that there were traces of blood found during this search, but I caution you, that has not been confirmed. That hasn't been authenticated, so table that one for now. The same day, though, San Bernardino Sheriff's Department made a stunning announcement that they could not rule out foul play. And they said that they'd found inconsistencies in Rebecca's statements to the police. The police said that when Rebecca was confronted about those inconsistent statements, she ended the interview. They didn't say what the inconsistencies were, and they have not accused her of anything. And Rebecca has not been charged with a crime. But a little background here. It's a blended family from past relationships. And here's something that's also very troubling. Rebecca's mother, Mary Boyshausen, she's Emmanuel's grandmother. She told KTLA that as of Sunday, August 17th, the couple's two-year-old child has been taken out of their home. In addition to that, the Uvalde Foundation for Kids, which is a nonprofit group that had been helping in the search for Emmanuel, they decided to pull back and suspend their efforts. The founder of that nonprofit, Daniel Chapin, said this, and I quote, "We cannot in good conscience utilize our team and resources when so much is missing in this case. Of particular concern to us lies within the inconsistencies in the details and the sudden decision by the mother to end communication with law enforcement and our team. Something is not right in this whole picture." But Mary Boyshausen, again, Emmanuel's grandma, told KTLA that the couple loves their son and wouldn't do anything to hurt him. Emmanuel's grandmother also claimed that authorities asked Rebecca to take a polygraph test, but that Rebecca's husband, Jake, who's Emmanuel's dad, refused to let her do so until they hired a lawyer. Now, you might say, well, that just screams guilt, right? If you're not doing everything to find your boy and help the police find your boy, you would never say no to anything that the police ask you to do. And I caution you right away, not always. Your right to an attorney is massive. It's why I partnered with Morgan & Morgan. It's important. Your words can be used against you. Innocent people can be thrown in jail, convicted. We've even executed innocent people in this country. So never decry someone's right to invoke their Fifth Amendment privilege and get a lawyer, because sometimes when they're being interrogated, it starts to get really scary and you do start hearing police use a tone that they believe it's you. And if you are innocent, you should stop the conversation. You should have a lawyer. You probably shouldn't start the conversation without a lawyer. But again, when we lose our children, we don't think of any of that. So like I say, a big caution not to jump to conclusions that Rebecca decided to invoke her right to a lawyer, or that her husband suggested it, or that they decided not to do a polygraph test. That can cut both ways, honestly. But there is this disturbing twist. Court records show that Jake, the dad, has a felony conviction from June of 2023 for child cruelty. Yeah. This one apparently stemmed from an arrest in 2018, it's reported. He was sentenced to 180 days in jail plus 48 months of probation. And in another twist, Jake is scheduled to appear in court in early September for an alleged violation of that probation. So as the search for baby Emmanuel drags on and deputies fan out across Yucaipa, pouring resources into this search, the investigators have made one thing very clear. Not every detail of Rebecca's account is lining up. And that leaves a difficult question hanging over this case. Is she a grieving mother who needs all of the help she can get from the community, from the police, from the true crime community, from us? Or is she a criminal who's faking an abduction with something far more sinister behind Emmanuel's disappearance? To help get some sort of insight into that question, I called Scott Rouse. Scott is one of the top behavior analysts and body language experts in the world. He holds multiple certificates in advanced interrogation training, and he's been trained alongside the FBI, Secret Service, U.S. military intelligence, and the Department of Defense. He's also one of the hosts of the extremely popular YouTube channel, The Behavior Panel. Here's our conversation.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Scott, it's great to have you. Thank you so much. You're the first person I thought of when I watched the video of Rebecca Harrow. There were some alarm bells that went off for me, and it turns out I'm not alone. The comments were filled about 90% with people who just don't believe her. And if it's true, it's terrifying that this woman would be double victimized. But I wanted to get your generalized thoughts right off the bat.
Yeah, the reason everyone's, when there's something wrong, when something isn't right, the first people that see what that is, that it's women. They'll see it every time. They'll say, something's not right here. Even though the men will be going, oh, my gut feeling says this, women will spot that and say, something's not right here. So when you have a situation like this and most everybody goes, what's not right here? If you listen to the in this case, the woman talking, then listen to the man talking, you'll see something's not right there between those two. And the facial expressions she has on her face are the one she has added to what's supposed to be grief and sorrow. We're going to see, which we'll talk about in a couple minutes, we're going to see something that doesn't belong there. And then we'll see on him something that doesn't belong there as well. So
it's fascinating. We get a spidey sense, and I like to think of it as it's our innate collection of the expertise that you've drilled down on in depth, and you can actually scientifically point to the things that somewhere in the back of our minds we're noticing and we just don't know why.
Yeah, and that's because your the woman's brain captures information a lot different than the man's brain, a lot differently. The man's brain, there's a couple of two or three parts of the brain, which we'll go over really quickly. You've got the fusiform gyrus, which is right in here. It's about a quarter inch in. And then you have the mid-temporal gyrus, which is even lower than that.
And you're sort of pointing to your mandibular, a little bit towards the top and the lower for the podcasters who aren't watching. Okay.
Oh, okay. Sorry. And then, so what you're dealing with here is the fusiform gyrus that grabs all, when you see something, it grabs all the little moves in someone's body language. It could be their shoulder, it could be their eyes, it could be anything moving, all the tiny little things that move, even in situations that you're in. Then you have the mid-temporal gyrus, which grabs all the big movements, all, you know, somebody moving around, their hands move real big and all that. And it throws it back to this thing in the back of your brain called the locus coeruleus, back there near the brainstem. And it, all that information goes in, and your locus coeruleus sorts it out and says, okay, and tells you, here's what's going on. Now, that's why men get a gut feeling, and that's why we think we know everything, because we get all that information really quickly, and then we go through and go, here's what I think. Whereas women take in a lot more information, not only with the fusiform gyrus, but with the mid-temporal gyrus. So they grab big groups of information that goes into their brain. And then when it goes back to the locus coeruleus, it takes a little bit longer because it sifts through it more in a more in-depth fashion than the man's brain does, than men's brain does. So that's what women's intuition is, in my opinion, because you all see more than we see. And you'll see all these little things, like, for example, with this woman. Something doesn't feel right because you can see what it is. You don't know what it is yet. Your brain hadn't figured it out yet, but something's not right there. That's why it's taking the police a little bit longer, because it's mostly men. And they see that and go, ah, you know, we'll see what happens. But from the get-go, there'll be women that go, something's not right here. And that's
I'm going to
why.
Go over a huge checklist with you of all of these specific things that we feel and we just don't know what it is we're feeling. And you're going to actually put names and words to it, which I love. But before we do that, I did notice in the comment section something that I saw right away, and I see it in a lot of different true crime stories that I cover, and that is past tense. I noticed she referred to her baby as he was a good boy. He was smiling. She had a past tense right away.
He was a happy boy. He smiled.
Is that, could that be just an accidental slip up that could be legitimate, or is it really a huge red flag?
That's something you count on listening for that, because you would say he's a sweet little kid. He does this. He loves doing that. So no, that's one of the first red flags you look for, is how they talk about the person that's missing. Are you hearing them say they were a good person and they always liked to do this? And I remember, but you know, it's all past tense and they don't realize they're doing it.
In this case, I'm wondering if it's possible, and I'm always trying to give the benefit of the doubt, but I'm wondering if it's possible that she was referring to the moment, meaning he was smiling, he was a good boy, meaning things were going well while I was trying to change the diaper in the back of the car, and then suddenly everything went sideways. Is it possible she could have been making a past tense reference to that moment, meaning at the moment he was being good? So I don't know how everything, you know, how we drew attention to someone else.
Yeah, that usually you don't think in specifics like that about how the child was at the moment and what was going on. When something like that happens, you immediately go from, here's what was happening. The next thing I know, I'm on the ground and the child's gone.
And as soon as I got up, I couldn't find my son. I checked all around my truck and I ran into Big Five and I asked the lady if she saw a baby or someone with a baby. She said no.
When this happens, and it's happened, I'm sure, from the beginning of time. If somebody takes your child and you, even though you've been knocked out and you wake up and you see it, the first thing you do is start screaming, somebody's got my baby. It happens every time that it happens for real. Where's my child? You don't run in and say, has anybody seen this or that? No, you start screaming because you've been in her situation. Somebody's hit her. You know, so there's no question as to what's happened. And you wouldn't ask, has anyone seen someone with a baby? You would have said, oh my God, somebody's taking my baby, call the police.
Could it be, again, I'll do benefit of the doubt here. Could it be that is what she did, but in her recollection, as she's talking to a reporter, she's recollecting it as, so I asked everybody if they'd seen somebody with a baby, when in fact, what was really happening was she was screaming, help, help, you know, where's my baby? Is it possible just she was not telling us the perfect recollection of what really happened in a moment of hell.
Yeah, of course, because she's not going to remember specifically what happened during all that because of her adrenaline. She got a big shot of adrenaline during that, if that indeed happened. So there'll be a lot of things she doesn't remember. So there will be small specifics she'll remember, but not like that, not in that fashion.
All right, Scott, let's drill down on the very specific, like, tiny things that we don't understand are going on in the face, but you see it like a beacon. And it's something called the glabella. You note that there's nothing in the glabella, and it's a group of muscles that should be engaged when grieving or concerned. Can you explain that?
Yeah, when we feel grief, when we feel concern, anything that you have to think about for a couple minutes, you'll see these little muscles right here group together and pull together.
And
Now,
you're pointing for the podcasters, you're pointing in between your eyebrows up above on your forehead.
right, about half an inch above, right in that little group of muscles there. That's what forms what we call the glabella. And when those come together, we're going to see two or three things happen. It's going to be concern, it could be sadness, or it could be grief. Now, if you're going to see grief, it's going to be the upside down horseshoe that you see in the forehead there, because the eyebrows push in, and that's when you see those wrinkles, and then the forehead comes down. That's what makes the U, because it pushes those muscles together, and they can't come together like that because you've got two muscles on the outside and a muscle on the top, and that's what makes the U. So if you see someone who's supposed to be grieving or is sad or is even worried, you'll see those eyebrows go up and in if they're worried. So, which is what we should be seeing, and we're not seeing that at all. Nothing on her forehead or in her brow says grief or sadness. Not.
Interesting. Okay, the next thing is it's her eyes, specifics about her eye muscles, and you're going to have to work me through this pronunciation. Is it the orbicularis
Yes.
oculi muscles?
Yeah, you nailed it. Orbicularis oculi. Very, yeah.
Okay, so this says that the muscles surrounding the eyes should be helping to form a true squint. But what are you seeing when you watch her video?
Well, when she is squinting like she is in this one, she's squinting a little bit. These muscles here should be pushing up
And that's
to
underneath your eyes. You're pointing to the muscles underneath, directly underneath your eyes.
right, just above your cheek, right there at the edge of your cheekbone and up. So they
Okay.
go a little bit further than that, but they should be your brain should be doing that, not you. So when she tries to squint, she's squinting mostly with her eyes, not using much of the orbicularis oculi, those muscles that surround the eyes. So that's she thinks that's what sadness looks like, and she thinks that's what grief looks like. Everybody does, because that's what you see. But when you get down to the specifics of it, it's the muscles that contract that you don't contract, but your brain makes contract. And there's a huge difference in that. Because if I was to squint at you like this, you'd see my cheeks come up and part of my mouth muscles come up like that. But when she's doing it, we don't see that because she's squinting like this. It should be just the eye squinting, none of this here. So that's the difference
Huh.
in
So
a grief
let me
effect.
ask you this. When actors are really, really good at grief, is it because they've transported themselves so deeply into a character they are literally feeling those feelings and it's coming out in their facial muscles?
That's what it looks like to me. Billy Bob Thornton's got that down. And as corny as it sounds, so does Brad Pitt. Those are the two that do it the best.
And Meryl Streep seems to just be so, I don't know, immersed that it's
She
impossible to
doesn't
tell she's acting.
count. She doesn't count because she's from another planet. So what I don't know what's going on with her, but it always looks real on her.
Okay, the
So
next thing is, and I would not have thought to look at this, but it makes perfect sense. It's her sclera. Her sclera are white, and the sclera, when crying, should be bloodshot. Is that immediately, or is it? Because I always think of it being afterwards. I've been crying, and now my eyes are red, but they go red right away.
Yeah, obviously it takes a couple minutes, but for as long as she's been there doing this, having this conversation, for as long as this child's been missing, they should be red. There's a lot that should be going on with that. Plus the fact we're not, again, you can see up closer even here that we're not seeing the squinting happening the way it should. We're just seeing her do it with her muscles here. If her brain did it, we would see less engagement of the orbicularis oculi. It would be there, but it would be in a different fashion. For example, when someone does a real smile and they squint, the sides of the eyelids come in at an angle like that. They come in like this. And in this case,
And you're making like a like it's hard for the people listening to like describe it for those who aren't seeing you.
okay, on the sides of your eyes, on the sides of the eyelids, it should come in at an angle. angle. They should squish, almost like you're making a little squish thing with your fingertips from, and you put your fingertips together at the top knuckle of your index finger and the top knuckle of your thumb. And when you squeeze those together and point toward the ends of your finger and thumb, that's what it should look like. Whereas if you're faking it, then it just goes flat. It comes from the top to the bottom, like you're making a pancake or something. So that's pretty much what we're seeing here, because she thinks that's what sadness looks like. She thinks that's part of it. And back to the sclera, what should be happening there is it should be red, not only on the outsides, but almost around the iris there. So, and we're not seeing anything there. It's not red. There's nothing happening there that should be happening with the sclera.
Something
Nothing.
else that's really obvious, but maybe we just don't think of it when we think of people crying, is the nose. In her case, you point out that her nose is dry. There's no sniffing. There's no wiping. Is that always the case that when you start to cry or when you're upset, your nose will be wet and you will start to have a runny nose?
Well, a lot of times what happens is the tears will drain through these little holes in the front of your eye, at the bottom of your eyelids, and it will sometimes it'll drain down into your sinuses, and that's what it'll be sometimes. But quite often, and we're not seeing any tears on her either, by the way. We're not seeing anything that shows us she's been crying. So usually with the crying comes a stopped up nose, or the runny nose. We don't see that. She never wipes it. She never wipes her eyes. She never sniffs in deep. Nothing like that at all. Not even a little bit.
Okay, the other thing you point out is something called the grief muscle, which I think is a fascinating term, but it's basically muscles that you mentioned before should form an upside down horseshoe. What's the muscle called, and why does it form an upside down horseshoe when you're upset or when you're grieving?
Well, it happens in the brow, and what happens is you get the muscles in your brow, your eyebrows pushing inward and upward, and then this part, I'll try to do it, and then this part, the top of your forehead, your brow, starts pushing downward, and that's close to it, because it's really hard to fake, but I've been practicing for years now, but
He's
it
showing me,
looks like
for those
that.
who are just listening, he's showing me like a really furrowed brow, but with grief and the pushing of the upper brow to the lower brow, and then the inner pushing from the eyebrows, which form that upside down U. It makes perfect sense. Does that happen with everybody who's grieving, though?
Quite often, it's hard not to if you really are, because you're trying to hold your eyes open, but you're grieving, and this pushes down. I guess it's the shadow in here from the light that's making that look so big and huge, because it's really tough to do. It's really hard to do. So that's why it's so hard to fake.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Okay, there's something else that is interesting, and I notice it as a broadcaster. Whenever I'm panicked or nervous, or the deadline is coming too quickly, and I don't have my material ready to go, my shoulders come up high on my, sh you know, I start to get nervous. And you're noticing something with her shoulders. What is it? I think you've said that in fear, your shoulders will be a telltale. What is it?
Yeah, well, because you'll do this. Your arms will come forward and down just a little bit, because you're trying to protect your heart and those from the psych from your. You're not psychologically thinking about doing that, but as an animal, you'll do that. You'll start trying to protect everything because you're afraid. She. This is the expression. There is fear. We're seeing fear on her face. That's which is, and it doesn't last that long. It's called a micro expression. But she's afraid of something, and she's not afraid that the child is gone or hurt or something.
How do you know? How do you know her fear isn't that someone has your baby?
Because the fear that we're seeing doesn't last long enough for that. You know, if she
Oh.
was afraid of the baby being missing, we've seen that the whole time, she would have said something about it. She's accepted the fact that the baby isn't with us anymore because of the way she's talking about it, the way she's using talking about it in the past tense. And the fear we're seeing here doesn't last, but I think this was maybe a half a second or a second. But you have to look really, really close because it's those wide eyes like that, and your mouth is open a little bit. Her mouth is, she's got that underbite or an overbite. So it's a tough call when you say, oh, well, she could be, you know, two or three things going on there. But that would be my bet because her mouth is open like that. Her eyes are a little wider than they should be. Sclera white as the driven snow, nothing going on in the nose, and her head's back a little bit. She's afraid of something. I can't say
And so
specifically.
you're, and with her shoulders, you're seeing her shoulders up high, sort of around her ears, as opposed to down low and forward. You said protecting your heart out of fear.
Yes, they're pushed up a little bit. They're pushed up this way where they should be pushed. They should be pushed. They're pushed forward a little bit, but they should be pushed forward more and lower, because she should be, you know, in fear, you sort of duck down and get back. You don't come up like this. So in other words,
Huh.
she looks like she's coming up, coming forward with it. It's hard to explain when
Yeah.
you're looking at it like that, but that's what's happening. That's
But you're
fear.
noticing the shoulders right away.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The other telltale here that you suggest is the eyebrows. And in her case, that the eyebrows are not engaged. Both eyebrows should be pulled toward the middle of the brow. They help to form that grief muscle with the upside down U, right?
Yes. I wouldn't, I'm not a Botox expert or anything, but I don't think that she's Botox. And when you get Botox, it doesn't look like that. You know, you still have a little movement in there, and you can see a little movement up here about a quarter inch down if you're jacked with it. And I don't believe she is. And we're not seeing anything in there that shows she's sad or grieving. And those, because they should be pulled in or pulled in and upward, but we're not seeing that. We're not seeing anything, which goes
But
back.
to the Botox, because a lot of people do Botox, does that impede your ability to use that as a flag? Does the Botox change the upside down U muscle, change the eyebrow movements, change the grief muscle?
Yeah, because there's not a whole lot moving in there, but you can still see movement just below that scalp line right in there, about a quarter inch up to a quarter inch down. So you'll see some movement in there. So you can say, okay, something's happening in there. Nothing's happening in hers at all. Nothing.
Let's go back to the tears. I saw no tears with her at all. And so many of the people in the comments who looked at her video said, no tears, not buying it. But I also wondered if it's possible for some people to cry without tears.
I've never seen it. I mean, I've never seen that before. They may, I'm sure somebody could pull it off, but I've never seen it. And especially in a situation like this, I've never seen it in a situation where somebody's missing, there's a family member missing, and somebody's crying and there are no tears, unless they're teared out from crying so much. But if that was going on, her eyes would still be red. We're not hearing that abdominal spasm either. She's trying to fake that because she keeps going, you know, breathe in real quick, but it's much quicker. It's like it happens really quickly. You can't help it. Like when a little child is crying, how they'll try to talk and you hear that stomach spasm trying to get them some air. That's not happening, but she's trying to pretend it is.
I was going to ask you about that because I always call it hyperventilating, but I'm sure that's not the exact right proper wording for it. Because, you know, I have noticed in myself, my kids went off to college, you know, a couple of days ago, and I was spontaneously just weeping all day and unable to get words out.
Oh yeah. Well, that happens because your larynx grips up like this. The stress gets big. You're trying not to show the emotional part of it as much as you can. Nobody wants to, you know, full on cry in front of people. We're always trying to stop it. So you're trying to stop that, and that's what happens as you fight that. The larynx closes up. You know, your eyebrows go up because you're trying. In other words, your body's saying, your brain's saying, help me," as you're feeling grief. We're not seeing that on
Struggling
her.
to get the words out and choking literally on words. And I did notice that she had big, deep breaths, but she wasn't having the choking effect that I had when my kids, and my gosh, that look, it's a great thing they're going off to college. I was just very lonely and sad. Let's talk about the dad. You mentioned that it looks like fake sadness to you because everything missing in the mom's facial expressions and her behavior is also missing with him.
Whoever took my son, please return him. We just want him back. We won't do anything to you. We just give us our son. Just keep him safe. Don't hurt him. Make sure you feed them, change them. Whoever took our son, please give him back.
Right, right. Yeah, he's got nothing. He's got nothing in his brow. He's got nothing going on. I mean, this guy just has, he's making, you know, the sad face. That's it. You know, and his breathing is the worst fake breathing I may have ever seen in my life, where he's trying to pretend like he's sad. And it's not happening enough for someone who's not getting the oxygen they need from the compression of the chest and the lungs and the stomach, the abdomen. So this is totally fake. This guy, yeah, no grief here whatsoever or sadness. Nothing.
The emotion that I saw originally when I first watched his clip was just, wow, he is mad. He wants to kill the person who took his baby. But you see it differently. You see this as a micro expression of anger. And if it were true anger, it would not be a micro expression. True anger would be expressed fully for the entire conversation. This expression looks like it lasts for what, an eighth of a second?
Yes, about an eighth of a second. He's not, that's not the anger you want to see. If he was mad at the person who took his child, he would have been angry the whole time. But we're seeing this like a flash of anger. And it's a flash because you're trying to hold it back. You don't want to show anger. He's mad, I think, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, but this reminds me of things that I've seen before, whereas this person has a lot of pent up aggression and anger. He's trying to hold it in. And that's why it flashes out like that. If it were true anger about the child being gone and he was mad at that person, then he would have that angry face all the time. You would see those nostrils flared like that. And you see his mouth, you know, his lips tighten. And that's another, a lot of odd things happening with this guy. But that, when those eyes put in like that, that's anger.
I wanted to ask you, because, you know, things have changed with the police, right? Things have also changed with the Uvalde group. They've sort of pulled back from this couple. The police have stopped giving information and they've, you know, sent cadaver dogs to the house. One of their children apparently has been taken out of the house, the 2-year-old. And I wondered, when something like this happens, we all go to Susan Smith, right? That's the grandmother of the whole phony, someone stole my baby. Especially with the racial component, because this woman said, I only heard the word hola, and then that was it. And so do the police bring someone like you in right away to say, read this video and tell us if we're on the right track or not?
No. You may bring outside interrogator in, you know, if, depending on what kind of what's going on, you might need a specialist, but they wouldn't do that, because they can all usually handle that. You know, the detectives are usually pretty good at that. That's why if you ever get in trouble, you want the youngest person to, if you ever go out and do something bad, get the youngest detective to talk to you, because the old guy's got you figured out when you walk in the door. The young guy's got to figure it out, but the older guys have seen it 1,000 times, no matter what you've done. And so they know where to go from there, where the younger guys are just learning, you know, for the most part. So those are the ones.
Do you notice something about her bruise under her eye? Because I think a lot of people thought, well, there she is. She's got a bruise under her eye from being hit in the head. And I think this interview was done the day after the alleged incident happened.
Okay. Yeah. No, then that's an old bruise, because that one's, it's leaving right now. You know, there's no swelling. There's no redness around it. It's just, and so you see a little bit of the bruise up here, close to the eyelid, but then you see this one mark right down through here. And it looks to me like, I could be wrong, but it looks like another one on the other side of her face, which she hadn't bring attention to. But this bruise over here on her left side, I think that's going away. Maybe it's her right side, whatever side it's on. It looks like it's leaving. It's done what it's supposed to do, and it's going away.
So if she tells the police that I got this bruise right afterwards, and they're able to find surveillance video of this family everywhere and anywhere they've been, I mean, there's a camera everywhere, and they zoom in and they see bruises from many days before, then they would have caught her in a lie if it were in fact a lie.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And believe me, that's what they're doing. And they may have found it already. That's why they're, you know, there'll be a lot of information they don't let out yet, so those people won't be able to prepare for it. So that could be very well what has happened, is what you're talking about.
Have I missed anything? Is there something I haven't asked you about that stands out?
I'd want to see, no, but I'd start looking into video of them together, the man and the woman together, and watch her as he says what's happening, and watch him as she talks and sees what's happening, because you'll be able to tell a lot from that.
A dynamic would play out. What would you see? What would you be watching for?
Her fear when he's talking, and her saying exactly what he says, and just mimicking that as they go through, or something really, really close to it. Not that the events didn't happen. That would happen if the events happened the way it was. But you'll listen to her vernacular. The words she chooses will be a lot of the same words he chooses. So watch how I would watch how she reacts to him in general, before and after. A lot of times you'll see people waiting for the interview to start, and they'll be sitting there for a few minutes, which is good. And watch how she acts around him during that, because I think she's afraid of him. I think she's afraid of that guy. That's my opinion. I could be wrong, but that's what it looks like to me.
Well, and there's reported domestic abuse in their past, and he's also reportedly a convicted felon. So, Scott Rouse, Scott Rouse, thank you so much for this insight. I always find your expertise is so fascinating and so informative. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I love being here.
Oh, my great thanks to Scott Rouse. I always learn so much when I talk to him. And, you know, we do have our spidey senses, don't we? We really do, but we can't quite put our finger on it. That's usually the expression that we use. We can't put our finger on it. What Scott Rouse does is he puts his finger on every single one of the flags when we're saying something without actually saying something. Okay, we're going to continue to watch this case because the developments do seem to be coming fast and furiously. So make sure you stay tuned. Make sure you subscribe, because if we do some last-minute updates as extras, I don't want you to miss anything at all in this case. And as always, I am so thankful that you're here. I said it before, I'll say it again. This is a community. I can't do this without you. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Ashley Banfield. And if you remember one thing from this, the truth isn't just serious, it's drop dead serious.